Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Albert, you know, every week as the Browns continue to win and look better and be the talk of the NFL, now 4-2, it feels like it's getting harder and harder to argue against Greg Williams. Do you still believe that he is a long shot to keep the job?
I mean, they keep playing this way and keep playing better and better. And I mean, it gets harder and harder to say that unequivocally he, you know, is not going to be in the running. I mean, look, I think that when he got the job, the chances of him holding on to it were close to zero. They're a lot better than that now. I still think the likelihood is that they go out and they find somebody. But, I mean, look, you know, what you're weighing is, the opportunity maybe to hang on to Freddie Kitchens and keep that relationship going and, keep the positive momentum from 2018. I think the biggest question here, guys, is really, and I think this is the way Jimmy's got to look at it. I think it's the way John Dorsey's going to look at it. I think it's the way they will look at it is, where are we at in 5 years? You know, and if we are looking at this as a 5 or a 10-year hire, can we envision, can we envision the organization 5 or 10 years from now having this current staff in place? And it's great to want to capitalize on momentum. It's great to want to, kind of continue what they've built there over the course of the last 6 or 7 weeks. The question is whether what they've done over the last 6 or 7 weeks is sort of, laying the foundation for a long-term plan. And that's really what they've got to figure out when they get into the interview process and start bringing guys in.
Who's most likely to, I mean, like, I look at Freddie Kitchens thinking, like, there's a good chance that he could stay and Greg could not. Am I crazy to think that?
No, I mean, Dustin, here's the thing. It's like, it depends on where you go, and I think that part of it is still up in the air.
These last two games, Albert, are very important, right, for these guys.
Yeah, and I think like how they look, the progress of all the young guys, because obviously that's really important. They've got as much under 25 talent, I think, as anybody in the league right now. Like as far as the young core they've got, it's as good as almost anyone's. And so the development of those guys, I think, is paramount. And so you want to kind of keep seeing those guys taking steps forward over the next couple of weeks. And if they do, then that obviously reflects well on the job that Dick Gregg and Freddie and the rest of the staff are doing there. I think that ultimately, it's going to be tricky if you want to hang on to one or both coordinators coming out of this year, because you sort of want to leave the possibility that you'll do that open, but the problem is that with some of the more high profile candidates, they're probably going to have a pretty good idea what they want their staff to look like, and so say it's a Josh McDaniels or if John Harbaugh were to come available. If it was one of those guys, probably there's a good likelihood one of those guys is going to want to hire his own staff and already has an idea now of who he wants on that staff. And so if you hang on to Freddie or you hang on to Greg or you try to hang on to both of them and say to any head coaching candidate, like, this is, these guys are part of the deal. We want these guys to be part of the deal. Do you risk scaring away somebody who might have options, who might be a really good, candidate for you? And so that's sort of the moving pieces there. And then if you're Freddie and Greg, it's like, is it okay? Like, can I wait? I don't know if, if you're not guaranteed a job there, then you've got to look around yourself. And so there's sort of like this just balancing act that they're going to have to, I think, perform after the season where it's like, do we keep the current guys? Do we want to keep them as assistants instead of the jobs that they're currently in? And then, you go forward from there, and it's like, can you impose on the coach? It's kind of complicated. And, honestly, that's why, you look at the different names, and it's like, if you do want to keep Freddie as the OC or Greg as the DC, well, that's going to fit better with some candidates than it will with others.
Albert, Dave Tobe of Kansas City is a name that's been brought up a little bit this week.
Yeah.
How serious a candidate would he be for the Browns?
I mean, he's very well respected. I mean, my question would be, and I mean this all respect to Dave Tobe. Dave Tobe's an older guy, too. Would he really be a better option than Greg Williams and keeping the current staff intact? And that's something that John Dorsey should know the answer to, because now he's got a year working with Greg Williams, and you know, he obviously had extensive experience working with Dave Tobe in Kansas City. And so, you know, that part of it, I think, is, you know, I think it's a fair question, because if you're going to open this thing up and you are going to say, all right, we're looking for something else, something other than Greg Williams, well, you know, then you'd think you were going in sort of a different direction. Where with Dave Tobe, it'd be, I think, a little bit similar to what Williams has brought to the table, which is a real veteran guy who has a specific area of expertise.
Anybody else that you could think of that could be on the radar for the coaching job, Albert?
Dustin, we talked about Matt Campbell for a while.
Did that extension. Does that matter? Does that make him more untouchable?
I don't think so.
Think so.
We've seen what those contracts mean in the past, right?
True.
But they have to give those guys, I mean, you guys know what today is, right? Today is National Signing Day.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, to some degree, like these colleges have to do those sorts of things just for optics. You know, it's hard for them to recruit if everyone thinks the first week of January they're going to be gone. I don't think it's going to stop any NFL team from calling. It may stop him from going. I don't know the answer to that. Like, he may have decided, I'm not going to the NFL 2019. That's certainly possible. I don't know whether or not that's the case, but I certainly know that there will be teams that are going to call him and that are going to try to bring him in to interview him. And one of the advantages of a Matt Campbell over, say, a Josh McDaniels or a John Harbaugh or someone like that would be that, you know, Matt Campbell coming from the college ranks is probably going to need to have some NFL guys on his staff and might be more amenable to inheriting a Freddie Kitchens than the others would be.
Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback with us. Albert, is bad officiating a real problem or a made-up problem?
I don't have the opinion that a lot of other people have on this. I know a lot of people think it's just that the officiating is horrible. I actually think it's more of a rules problem than an officiating problem.
Okay.
And here's why. Like, anybody, and Dustin, you know this, anybody who's seen the NFL game at field level knows what sort of speed that everything moves at, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to train your eyes. I don't know how anybody makes heads or tails of what's going on there at field level. Everything's moving so fast. It's a total blur. And so you have to train yourself to see things at that level, right? Like, you have to train your eyes to look for certain things. And that takes a long time to do for these officials. Like, okay, I know how to look for this and I know how to look for that. And that's hard enough to do if the rules stay the same, right? Well, if you're giving these guys 10 or 15 new rules or different points of emphasis or different safety measures every single year, what do you think's going to happen? You know what I mean? Like, do you think that it's going to be easy for them to say, like, it's like anything else. Like, you give somebody, it's like a moving target. It's like, I'm going to train myself to look for this and this and this. Now I've got to look for this and this and this. Now I've got to look. It's a lot to ask of those guys. And so I've always been an advocate, and I know Belichick has actually proposed this. I'm an advocate of making everything reviewable, putting it up in the booth, and putting it up in the replay booth like they do at the college level, where you can make it more efficient, and giving these guys a backstop. Because I think what's being asked of them, I mean, look, I understand why people criticize them, right? But what's being asked of these guys is enormous, and it's every single year. And what makes it worse is that as the job is getting harder and harder with all the rules changes and the speed of the game and everything else, we're getting to see more and more and more because of the technology that is beamed into our television, you know? And so I just think that, like, those factors, you put all of that together, and it puts a lot of these officials in an impossible situation. I'm not saying they're perfect. I'm not saying there aren't guys who are doing this who maybe are too old or aren't capable of doing it. I'm sure that exists. I'm just saying there's just a lot asked of these guys, and again, like they're now on the stage, obviously, where we can see more than we've ever been able to see before because of the technology that we're getting.
Albert Breer is with us, MMQB. Albert, there's a lot of people that are prisoners of the moment, ourselves included, as talk show hosts. this past Monday, it was Tom Brady and Gronk are done. The Patriots are finished after they lose on a fluke play of the Dolphins, which, I mean, come on, they should have won that game.
Well, we didn't say that.
No.
But a lot of people are saying that.
Yeah, let me finish.
All right.
And my question to you is, Albert, as some people have said, we did not say that, by the way, that the Patriots are falling off a cliff. They're done. I would not be surprised if the Patriots won the Super Bowl this year, Albert. What say you?
I think the margin for error is as small as it's been in a long time.
But they're not. I don't think they're finished, though. Is my point.
I think their margin for if you watch, and I watch them on a week to week basis, their margin for error is small. And what I mean by that is that everything looks harder than it used to look. Gronk isn't what he was. Edelman's not what he was. I think Brady's got to be, like, on a consistent basis, has to be better, because just the dynamic of the offense has changed because they don't really have anybody at the skill positions that's, you know, keeping the defensive coordinator up at night. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, I think everything they've done in the front seven is smoke and mirrors. They've got talent in the secondary. They've invested in the secondary. And if their secondary is not great, their defense is in trouble. Basically what they need right now, they need their secondary to play great consistently. They need their quarterback to play great consistently. And even then, they're winning some of these games against teams that, you know, they wouldn't have had trouble with a couple of years ago by the skin of their teeth. And that's a tough way to live in the playoffs, man. And so I think they're very much at a crossroads after this year. I think on paper, if the Patriots, if you looked at their plan in 15 and 16, I think this was supposed to be the rebuilding year. This was going to be the year they transitioned to Jimmy Garoppolo. Tom Brady beat the clock. They wind up holding on to some of their older players for another year. But this feels like it's the end of this iteration of the dynasty. And I think the analogy that I'd use here is sort of the proud old prize fighter, you know, and he's still swinging and he's still tough. And if you slip at all, he'll still get you. But he doesn't pack the punch that he once did.
Albert, let me give you an off-the-radar team that I think can win the Super Bowl and tell me if you think I'm nuts or not.
Yep.
The Indianapolis Colts.
I would say the Indianapolis Colts will be one of the favorites to win Super Bowl 54.
54? All right.
I'm with you. I would not want to play them.
Their defense is playing great, too.
I still think they're one off season away, but Andrew Luck again. I mean, yeah. I'm telling you, like, this draft class that they have has a chance to be an all-timer. Quentin Nelson's an all-pro as a rookie. Darius Leonard's the defensive rookie of the year. Braden Smith's their starting right tackle. Tyquan Lewis had two sacks. They got two running backs in the class. They've got a receiver from Clemson who tore his ACL in camp, who they think is going to be really good too, Deion Kane. This year's draft class for the Colts is one of the best I think you'll see. They have all of those guys. They've got the 2017 draft kids. Remember, Malik Hooker's in that class. And they've got $100 million to spend in the offseason. Plus, they've got the Jets' second-round pick from the Sam Darnold trade.
That's right.
That's going to be, what, the 35th, 36th pick?
Yep.
That team's going to be a pain in the ass if they get into the tournament. And then next year, I think that team's going to be a monster. So I'm with you. I don't know if they make the Super Bowl. I don't know if they're capable of getting a Super Bowl this year. I think in 2019, that team may go into that season as the favorite in the AFC.
Mm. Yeah,
Albert, we're not going to talk to you before the holidays and before the Buckeyes play in the Rose Bowl, I don't believe, because we're off and I'm sure you're spending some time off as well. So Ohio State faces Washington in the Rose Bowl, 5-point favorites. I think that's like the lock of the century, that Ohio State's going to just crush the Huskies in Urban Meyer's last game. What do you think about this game? And I guess, what do you think about Dwayne Haskins maybe coming back, or do you think he's going to leave?
I'm excited for the game. I Chris Peterson's done a really good job. I mean, at Boise, he was fantastic, obviously, and he's built a really solid program at Washington. And I'm going to be interested to see, you know, the Ohio State offense against a really, really good Washington defense. I don't know that Washington can score with Ohio State, but I don't think it's going to be easy for Ohio State to score either. Yeah, I think we wind up winning the game, Dustin. I don't think it's a massive blowout, but I think it's one of those games where, you know, in the end, you wind up pulling away maybe in the fourth quarter. Dwayne Haskins, I mean, I've heard all fall that he's gone, that he's going to the NFL, and now you're starting to get these breadcrumbs that he might go back. Remember, these kids all have their paperwork in now, and to the league, and then the draft board is going to get those grades back. My expectation would be that he'll get a first-round grade from the board, and if he gets a first-round grade, I think it'll be very, very difficult for him to come back to school. As I've heard it, really, like he and Justin Herbert right now have sort of separated themselves. They're considered the top two draft prospects at that position if they declare, with the Duke kid Daniel Jones kind of nipping at their heels. And so I just – it's easy to sort of ruminate about it and all of that now. I just – you know, I ultimately think you get to the beginning of January and you're Dwayne Haskins and you're looking potentially at $15 or $20 million guaranteed. It'd be very, very hard to walk away from that.
Yeah, and I think it's funny people were saying, like, he could be a late first-round pick. And I'm like, this team's that need quarterbacks. He's going to, you know.
That usually doesn't happen, though.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Normally, I mean, Baker Mayfield was supposed to be a late first-round pick last year. What happened?
Yeah, right. Jacksonville's got to take a quarterback, right? They're picking early.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like, that's so.
The Giants.
You guys know how this works.
Yeah.
What will happen is, like a Jacksonville or the Giants or, you know, Tampa, like one of these teams, you know, this drafting, like bottom of the top 10, you know, low teens or high teens, is going to be looking at it and saying to themselves, well, you know, we'd love to get this kid in the second round, but when we're picking in the second round, he's not going to be there. So do we risk it? No, this is the most important position. We'll just take him at 8 or 9 or 10. You know, that's the way
right.
it works, you know, at that position. And so, if one of these teams really likes Dwayne Haskins or really likes Justin Herbert, you know, at that position, it's not worth rolling the dice and waiting. It's, you know, if you really like the guy, just go ahead and take him. And so, yeah, I mean, I think like a Herbert or a Haskins or even a Daniel Jones, like those guys have a good chance to rise through the draft process because of the value of their position.
Albert, have a great holiday and a happy new year. We'll talk to you next year.
All right. Merry Christmas, guys.
You too, Albert. Thanks, buddy.
Albert Breer, MMQB, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.